Eurovision. Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points, Ireland.
All kinds of everything.
Hello, Deep Gachtina August Falcha Arash. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. You're very welcome. Having another good little catch-up episode, lots of things to discuss. We are in the swing of the Eurovision Song Contest 2023. Connor, it's February!
I know, that is I feel like we were only doing ESC 250 yesterday, and now
it's time
for February, and then it'll be March before we know it's them. We'll be in Liverpool, and
for our Irish followers, St. Bridget brings the spring. I had to.
I haven't heard that in years. Feel like I have to start making the cross now.
How are you, Connor Hagen?
I'm all good. Absolutely knackered with everything that's going on. But, you know, this is what we live for. This
We've
is what we love.
We've got the bags under the eyes, haven't we?
We really do. Yeah. We really do. We need to scrub up before the end of the week. It's going to be mental.
There's
but
a lot happening.
Yes, too much to even talk about. But
busy bees.
Very busy, but another busy episode as well. We've got a few little bits and pieces to be talking about, don't we?
Before even we get stuck in, I guess as well, Connor and I just want to thank everyone again so much for all the lovely feedback, all your comments, all your interactions on Instagram, Twitter, email,
everything.
Carrier pigeon, wherever you find us. Glad everybody's enjoying the Euro Song Edition. We're nearly there. But again, we're hanging up our Euro Song boots mostly for this episode. We're going to have a few little updates shortly, but we want to get stuck into a couple of other countries because there's been a lot of movement in the last few days, and there will be by this weekend a fair bit of movement and a couple of songs chosen. A few Euro Song updates just to tide us over for this episode. Connor, you were listening to Galway Bay FM.
Yes, I was. And, you know, for anyone out there, I am from Dublin, but I did see this on my TikTok, which interested me very, very much. And it was Jennifer Connelly, who was, of course, participating with Midnight Summer Night. She was on the show for about 40, 45 minutes, so a good chunk of time.
God, that long?
Yeah, quite a long time. And they were talking about everything. They were quizzing her on Eurovision. She knew loads and loads about Eurovision, like random facts. And she also teased a possible, well, not possible, she is going to revamp the song, and we will hear it on Friday. A few little added bits and pieces, tweaked here and there. So, yeah, Friday we'll be hearing a Midnight Summer Night revamp too. So, very, very exciting.
As well
that.
As her, Adji.
Yes,
Adji, what a guy. He was on a podcast at Radio Reroll, a podcast at Scoilga, an Irish language podcast run by an Irish radio station. And he actually revealed, it was all done in Oscuelga, which is like so incredibly cool. That's probably like the first Eurovision in Ireland interview in my knowledge that's been conducted all through the Irish language. And maybe we'll get there someday on the Eurovision podcast. I'd love that. But yeah, really cool. And he revealed towards the end of that interview that he's looking at putting some Gaeilge into his song. But then we had
twist
a little
the
tweet there today, and he basically requested 100 retweets.
Yep.
He said if his tweet got 100 retweets, he would add a 20-second section with the Irish language towards the end of his song, and he smashed it.
Yeah.
So
tons of retweets. So
and he then retweeted basically confirming he's going to do it. So do you know what? Fair play to him. Kind of a bit of crack engaging with the fans online, getting them interested. Both Irish and international fans have been calling for Irish language for such a long time. So no better man than a Gweedore man, a Gaeltacht region man to do it. So,
and interesting well, because he was talking to us about it and he said that for Eurosong, the chances would be pretty much no. And it would
seems
only be something
really
that he was considering after your song. Mm. And like you said there, he listened to the fans and was like, you know what? No, I'm going to try this for Eurosong.
I do just hope it works. Like, I hope he hasn't felt pressure to shoehorn it in, because we've talked a lot about artist integrity and authenticity, and I think it's a banger of a song. I think it's brilliant, and I think he's a fantastic artist. I have a lot of time for him, and I've been streaming that song a lot. I think it's great. So I just hope that he stuck it in because he feels it works.
Yeah.
And he thinks it will go down well on Friday, I suppose. Yeah. I hope it's not kind of random. But then again, I suppose, like, you know, as Eurovision fans, we can often overanalyze these things. I mean, we might hear it and think, oh, there was no need, but like, are 99% of the viewers going to know that he stuck it in at the last minute? Like, no. So ultimately, it's just so bloody cool. We've Irish language representation in our national final. I feel a bit smug about it.
I was going to say,
I'm not taking all the credit. Like, you know, there's like, what, 5 million people on this island. There's a lot of Irish speakers, and a lot of international fans have been calling for Irish language too. But I do just feel in the last 5 years, there's been this little fan push for Irish language. And I don't know, I think it's, I'm kind of like, RTE, wake up. Yeah. One of the artists is bringing it in. Like, you know, let's go. Yeah. We've had some interesting conversations with Imlay over on our Instagram. A little exclusive, a very great Irish artist, Irish language artist. So the interest is there, lads. We got to keep pushing.
Yeah.
And this is a call out personally from me. If anybody out there knows Irish language songwriters, Irish language artists who you think would be great, please reach out to them, because a lot of them are smaller or relatively unknown. So if you know any, your family, your friends, someone in your town, in your county, reach out and encourage them to go for Eurosong next year. Let's flood that long list of songs with Irish language songs. What do you think, Connor?
I think so.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Try something different.
Grassroots.
Yeah.
Come on, lads. Tirgan Shanga, Tirgan Anam. Anyway, this has become, I'm a bit like Pádraig Pearce or something. Let's chill out. On the other end of the scale, John Lydon. He's been doing a lot of UK
interviews,
press.
Yes. Another one with This Morning today. And I understand, you know, press is all about it, but, you know, you're not trying to represent the UK, you're trying to represent Ireland, so it might be worth a shot.
The only Irish press he's done is where he slagged off Eurovision.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand that at all. Like, you know, you are trying to appeal to the Irish voter. Like, I know there's been a lot in the papers, not necessarily interviews with him, but there has been a lot in the papers about his participation in Eurosong. But I'm just like, you know, fair enough, you're talking to Good Morning Britain, This Morning, all the ITV kind of shows. Mate, I think he was on BBC Breakfast as well. But, you know, you are appealing to the Irish audience. Wouldn't trouble you to do, you know, Ireland AM
just
or the 6 o'clock
bits,
show.
Even with RTE themselves, the actual
Today's
podcaster,
show.
Come on.
Like, and I know he's in Dublin from today, so.
And I'm sure there's demand from the Irish TV stations and radio stations. I'm sure they'd love a scoop on John and the band. So it's kind of a, I don't know.
It's
and he's in
one.
Dublin. Like, he's
here. Yeah. Strange one.
Bizarre. But anyway, let's see how that plays out. More to come on that as the days go on. So let's tuck Ireland to bed for this evening for now. Connor and I last night just decided to have a chill. Took a break from podcast work. Just two Eurovision friends wanting to watch a selection. And we sat down on the couch. Where did we go, Connor?
We went to the Czech Republic.
To Prague.
Prague specifically. For ESCZ 2023. Indeed. Czech Republic were selecting their song for Liverpool. And 5 songs were competing. And yeah, we heard them for the first time last night. And yeah, we won't find out the winner just yet. Another week or so to go until that happens.
Kind of a
which
weird
is strange.
One. Yeah.
But I guess they're trying to push that vote within the country, trying to gather a bit of interest.
Well, are they though? Because it's a 70% international vote and it's only 30% Czech vote. So really, like, the Euro fans have a big hold on this.
Yeah, good point.
National selection. Because when you say international vote, like, the average Irish person, the average Swedish person, whatever, has no notion that this is going on. So basically, the Eurovision fans are kind of taking charge of this vote, which is interesting.
I guess so, yeah.
I thought this was like, I think we kind of chatted about this a little bit together last night, Connor. I thought this was just a really interesting selection overall because they've tried a few different things.
Yeah.
And even though I don't know if it's perfect, I kind of admire that they're just trying stuff out, especially because, as we know, the Czech delegation has really been building a brand within the country and within their broadcaster and doing a stellar job. Like, as I said at the start of the selection, they've qualified, what, 4 times out of the last 6 years, and some great songs coming out of the Czech Republic. Really, Friend of a Friend, banger.
Yep.
Lights Off, banger.
Banger, yeah.
Lie to Me has aged a bit, but at the time, I loved it.
Yeah.
I Stand, that was a great ballad. Mm-hmm. She was amazing.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting.
Even
I don't know.
Even Benny Christo, like, I loved those songs personally as well.
I
didn't work necessarily
him.
Live, but I did feel that I loved the songs.
Oh, Maga was such a good studio track, wasn't it? It kind of fell apart a bit live,
it did,
unfortunately. But and K Mama was really cool as well. Like, again,
nice
it was
songs.
Bringing nice,
like,
diversity to the contest.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, I it's very, like, the last Czech entry I really didn't like was 2017, but every other entry I've kind of really, really loved, and they've probably been in my top 10 most years.
Do you know the word? We should, like, do a word association game sometime, Connor, with Eurovision countries. I feel like that would be fun. If I could describe the Czech Republic in Eurovision in a word, I would say fresh.
Yeah.
They're very fresh. They're young. They're sort of underdogs a lot of the time, but they often come out on top because they're original. They're cool. They don't try to be like anyone else.
No.
They really have the kind of indie, old
pop. They have a bit of
kind of
swagger about them, don't they?
Yeah.
That kind of, like,
they're
we know
the heart
we're not
of Europe.
The best.
They're at the centre of Europe.
Yeah.
So it's like they have a little bit of influence from everywhere, which is, it's just interesting. It is. And even though, like, okay, the studio was quite small, I thought the main presenter, amazing English and seemed like a cool guy, but, like, a tiny bit wooden. Robin James, absolute legend.
I was going to say,
we're like a Robin
get
James
rid of your man, bring
Stan
them into
account.
The main show.
Yeah, let them do
they
the
would have been
thing.
Much better, I felt, but, you know.
Yeah, like, it had, you know, the...
But, you know, this was the first year that was actually on the television.
That's amazing.
Amazing achievement, you know, and yes, it has a very, very small budget, but it just shows you that the broadcaster is opening the idea to expanding this as a more prominent national final within the country instead of it being an exclusive online show.
I was going to say as well there, just in terms of the studio, I think they've used the space really well.
Yeah.
I think you and I talked about that last night.
You mentioned
because
the layers. Of
we're
the
always
stage.
On about the Late Late Show, like bash, 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 bash. not talking about Ireland, talking about Czech Republic. We were saying that the levels really added good depth to it, and there was one or two of the performances where that really worked actually. Mm. And if they just had the flat stage, it wouldn't have
worked
brought
well.
Some of the performances to life as much. So they worked really well with what they had. Robin James were fantastic. Well done to the lads, and well done to the whole Czech team pulling all of that together. Let's get stuck into the songs though, Connor.
Yes, we have 5 songs, so a good mix of genres, I feel. But we kicked off with song number 1, which was Mayella Flood. Then we had Pam Rabbit with Ghosting, Marketa Irglova with Happy, Vesna with My Sister's Crown, and Rodan with Introvert Party Club. Sorry if I butchered any of those names, but I gave it my best shot. But yeah.
We should just briefly run through them because there's only 5.
So quick.
The first one, the actual song, honestly, I don't really remember a lot of it. I don't have much to say. I don't think it impacted most of us from our reactions watching together, but I loved her look and the aesthetic. That was what I really liked.
Yeah. You can tell she's a proper artist. She's found her image. You know, she's not trying to be anyone else. That's what suits her. And I guess that's good. I agree with you. The song didn't really do anything for me either.
I don't remember it, to be honest.
No. Not at all. I just remember.
And
what
we watched it
like.
Twice. And no, not at all. So, next one.
Next one is Pam Rabbit Ghosting. Another one that kind of you could see.
She's a returnee.
Another one you could kind of see that you know what their image is. They know what the kind of styling that they're trying to go with. Eurovision stage, then they're trying to go with as well, that kind of trio with the dance moves, the black and white kind of stuttering statics and all that kind of stuff. Song wasn't mad about it. I wouldn't really say it's a competitive song, but I think I would stream it though. I think it would be on my national final playlist. But
do you know what's exciting? This is solid. This for me is middle of the pack. This is like the solid third for me of these 5, because there's 2 I think are non-runners. 2 I think are great potentials for Czech Republic. This one's like the middle of the pack. I wouldn't be like mad if they chose it, but I don't think it would be the right choice for them. But like, they worked pretty well. What they had, the styling was really good. She's great. She has great presence. Choreography pretty good. The song was like all right, as you said. I'd probably stream it. But isn't it amazing? I was only thinking watching it last night. 5 years ago, that would have been epic for the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So it just shows you how far a country can come. The fact that like that's now a mid song
for them.
In what used to be a very mid Eurovision country. I don't think you could say the Czech Republic is mid anymore. They're like, they're creeping up there. Yeah. And I think they're knocking on the door of a win.
Really?
I think give them 10 to 15 years. It's not happening in the next year or so, but if they keep going the way they are and showing the interest that they are, I think they could just strike lucky 1 year with a real contender. And I mean, everybody likes the Czech Republic. Who doesn't want to go to Prague? It's one of my favourite cities. I love... Have you ever been?
No.
You would love Prague, Connor. Really? Oh my God, it's so beautiful. So walkable. People are so lovely. Food is great. Weather's great. Great vibes. Nightlife. Oof. Chef's kiss. Went on the best pub crawl of my life in Prague. But anyways, back to the songs. So that was Pam Rabbit.
Yeah, that's Pam Rabbit. Next up was Markéta Irglova with Happy.
Ah, sure, she's Irish.
She's Irish. The Irish gal now in the Czech Republic selection.
The Irish Icelandic Czech queen.
Yeah.
She was in the Icelandic selection last year, like so random. She's won an Oscar.
Wow.
As you do.
Miss International right here.
Miss Romain. Yeah. Flo Rida collab. I love her, like, that's not like beyond the realm of possibility for Eurovision.
Yeah, no, yeah. Who would, like, 2-3 years ago, we've been out chance now. It's like, yeah, Flo Rida. Just casually showing up.
This song, I'm sorry. Markéta, you're a legend. This song is... Yeah. Oh God, sorry, that was awful. I swear it on the podcast. But she catch my drift, sorry. Sorry, I actually apologise to the listeners for that. That was very unnecessary, sorry. But yeah, you catch my drift. It was just like, happy, 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 happy. What was that? Sorry.
It reminds me of Disney
Public
Channel.
Czech Republic selects this week. Select Hawaii, like, semi-final one be a great laugh, like, Sweden be storming it, like, do you know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of, I remember That's So Raven years ago, there was a singer, Sunshine, and she was, like, she had the guitar, and she was, like, a hippie kind of vibe, and it was, like, everything is brilliant, everything is good, and then Raven had to imitate her to, like, get, like, past the security and stuff like that. Just reminds me of that, I just get that vibe.
Connor, do you realise that that's an incredibly niche reference? That is incredibly... You said so casually, that character in that Disney Channel show I watched 15 years ago.
I hear everyone knows That's a Raven. Come on, like...
Yeah, I watched it, but I actually don't remember that specific.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, yeah.
DM us if you get the reference that I'm talking about. Blonde hair, curly glasses. There we go. Very specific.
So I think now we need to get on to the contenders.
Yeah.
I think you agree with me that there's like the top two.
Top two. Yeah. Absolutely. So number four was Vesna, My Sister's Crown. And this was the international group, really, because... Ooh. How many four languages you were saying?
Something. Yeah, there was, I believe, well, there's obviously English, there's Czech, but there was also Ukrainian and Bulgarian. Raps, supposedly.
Yeah.
Oh,
very
Connor,
mixed, but this is chef's kiss, as you say. I love this.
This, if they win the Czech selection, and like looking at the fans online, I'd be very surprised, to be honest, if this doesn't win. This is so up there for Eurovision. It's definitely qualifying. I'd say.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Not a doubt. Like this is one of those really instant songs. Like second three, you're in. And this is one of those, I wouldn't even say it's divisive, to be honest. But it creates strong enough feelings that you're going to vote for it. I mean, a girl group, number one, is always class. Yeah. I'm sorry. But like, strong female empowerment and women of, you know, different ethnicities or of different nations with different languages coming together, playing instruments, the way they work the stage, the choreography. I loved the part where they sang We Are Not Your Dolls and they did that doll choreography. And you and I were just talking through it, like that we thought that they used the stage so well.
Absolutely.
It was never boring. You couldn't take your eyes off it. So if they can pull that off in a studio of that size, imagine Liverpool, Connor.
Yeah. And we always see that kind of elevation with Czech Republic staging wise when the song they know, like last year was phenomenal. Probably like top one of the top stagings of last year. They got it nailed on perfect with
We Are Dummy. Turn the lights off.
Boom, 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 boom. Amazing. Oh. Like I still, that's the one performance I showed to my friends when I'm ever talking about going to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Being in the arena with lights off. Amazing. So this, oh, can only imagine what they'll do with it. And you know, you said it last night. This is what Tara should have been for Spain.
In Benidorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that and you hit the nail on the head.
I loved Tara last year, but the staging was... It wasn't bad, in fairness, but they missed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that the Czech group Vesna used the stage. And also it felt like we were getting to see each one of them as an individual, and but also as a group. And that's a very special thing. Mm-hmm. That I think Kalush achieved that quite well.
Yeah, they did.
Last year in that, like, different members had their different roles. But then when they came together as a group, the unity was really powerful.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way with these girls. Look, I think these girls get chosen for the Czech Republic and Cha-Cha-Cha gets chosen for Finland. We're looking at maybe another group winning Eurovision this year. I know it's early days and people are probably saying, Lou, calm down. But this is, isn't this just unreal, like the quality of Eurovision these days?
This that, is like, what we're getting.
Countries like the Czech Republic and Finland, who were like down in the dirt, we're talking early to mid to 2010s. Look at them now.
Yeah, flying.
Unreal. So impressive.
Yeah.
So impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We have one more song to talk about as well. This is Rodan Introvert Party Club. And this is very much up our street.
That we kind both love this.
Both love this. Very kind of chill, poppy kind of song. Guy
Tropical
with a guitar.
House.
Tropical House.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of, I think I said to you last night, just a random personal thing. When I was doing my dissertation a couple of years ago, I just went through this phase, you know, when like you're working hard in college or whatever, and you kind of, you nearly need like this white noise of music in your ears. And I used to, I listened to the last One Direction album on loop for a while, and I would alternate between that, another American band I liked, and Tropical House playlists. And this was the style of song, Introvert Party House, I could imagine being on one of the Tropical House playlists. But loads of good twists and turns. It was quite a clever song, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah. It was. And I loved the kind of the build up to the chorus. And you kind of, he was talking about, you know, being the introvert person at a party. And you could hear the party. You were described really well. It was like being in the bathroom at a party.
The bridge. Yeah. It sounds like he's in the bathroom. You know, like maybe you're like
slightly
at something,
tipsy.
Maybe you're overwhelmed or whatever. And, you go, and there's kind of that, like when you're in the bathroom, that background noise. And then when it hits the chorus, it's like, he's come out into the main part of the party. And as you said, just before he goes to the chorus, you can hear the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh of people talking at the party. Very, very clever song. And also, in terms of the actual like staging and the performance, I think they did really well. You know, a lad standing with the guitar could be incredibly boring.
Yeah.
And I think I was making silly jokes about his hat at the start. I was like, why do guitar men wear these hats inside? But in fairness, like I forgot about that a good 30 seconds in, because the song and the performance swept me away. They worked it really well. It wasn't boring.
No.
It was because the song was good enough, I think. That's probably
I think
why.
So.
If the song was a miss, it would have been...
No. Yeah, it would have been a kind of snooze festival.
Yeah.
I think it's like a slightly more up-tempo song than Franz, If I Were Sorry, Sweden 2016.
Yeah.
That's the kind of vibe I was getting on. I loved that song.
Me too.
So I think that's what I can see the similarities between the two.
Franz was one that was always on the Tropical House playlist
really?
As well. Yeah.
I love that song.
I loved that.
It doesn't deserve the hate it gets, but...
Those last two, I think, would be excellent contenders.
Yeah.
I do think Vesna probably has that je ne sais quoi for Eurovision... That real standout element. It has the magic.
Yeah.
I think the Introvert Party House song, Rodan, I think that would qualify and do like pretty well for the Czech Republic. But I think if you're looking at Vesna, you're looking at a very high placing.
Absolutely.
Potentially.
Yeah.
From juries and televoters in the final.
Yeah.
I have no doubt televoters would push that through the semi-final.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I agree.
So this is very exciting for the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And then We Are Dummy came out at the end, and all Connor and I could think about was standing up on stools with them in the Huntsman pub, screaming,
dummy,
lights off.
Dummy, dummy.
I'm just screaming at Connor being up at the bar, And then like a while later being like, Louise, I was up at the bar and I was chatting to this lad. And it was your man from Weird Dummy.
He just appeared beside me and I was like, of course, I was a couple of drinks in. So I was like, you look familiar. And then he was like, yeah. And then I saw the badge and I was like, you're the fella from the Czech Republic. You're the fella with the guitar stringy thing. And he was like, yeah, yeah. Nicest band
so
ever.
So nice. They're so cool.
Dummy as well. Oh, so, so nice. Dominique. Aren't they? So nice. Yeah. I have a lot of time for them and... they're great to be still involved
with
Eurovision fans.
They're going to be in Liverpool. I just feel like they'll come because they're fans.
They'll be performing at Eurovillage or something.
Yeah,
or...
they'll 100%. They're
but did they write
points.
The song in Liverpool or something? One of the host cities, wasn't it?
No, they went to university in Leeds.
Leeds, okay.
That's how they
met. I knew there was
met.
Some connection to some.
Yeah, because when we did the host cities episode, we mentioned that, I think. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'd say, like, Liverpool, they'll be there. Yeah. And as you said, like, pre-parties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, why wouldn't they? There's certain artists like that who just do well.
It's
like,
kind of.
Like, there's kind of a difference between, okay, like, you've got your Maneskin and stuff who blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's just as good for those artists who get a mid-level success. And, like, you know, good for them. August Vulture Arash. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Kill and Grawl segment of the podcast. It's been a little while, so glad to be back. Feeling the Gaeilge, feeling the love. Guys, it's only 1 month to Seachtain na Gaeilge. Are you excited? I'll be hijacking the podcast then. So we'll be building up to that. But anyway, Vulture Arash, welcome back to on Shketamini Erin. We are very, very excited, of course. There's lots going on in the Eurovision world. But anyway, Conor has been slacking the last couple of weeks. I've been letting him off the hook with the El Gaeilge. And he's becoming a Gael gore, let me tell you. So, Conor.
I'm really nervous now.
Just to remind, of course, any newer listeners, this is the segment where I terrorise Conor and give him a sentence of Gaeilge, usually to do with the Eurovision Song Contest or lyrics of some shape or form. Conor tries to guess A, what it means, but also B, maybe where it comes from or what its relevance is. So, without further ado, Conor, on what's your A?
It's on my Ray.
Oh, okay.
Och, can I just mention as well?
Och, but... He threw an och. Gatobin! Gatobin!
It's like Srapic.
Gatobin! Any Leaving Cert Irish student is like having like PTSD.
Mental breakdown.
Gatobin.
But firstly, can I just say, I love all the comments that are people sending in, being like, you should do this to Conor. You should say this to Conor. It's so, so good. And it's so, so good. So keep them coming because I love to read them. And
there's one guy. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. On Twitter, he doesn't message the Eurovision account. He messages my personal Lou account being like, you should do this with Conor. You should kill and grow up. Do this, do that. I loved when you called Conor out the other day. Here, do this with them. And it's like this lad, who I've never chatted to before, he seems lovely, is like scheming with
scheming
me.
Scheming against me. It's like, thank you.
And the odd time I like tell Conor, I'll be like, yeah. I got a message today with tips and kill and grow. And you can see him the stress. Like,
I'm like,
no. And what's your Ray?
Tell my Ray.
Okay. Toke. Oog A.
That it?
Mm-hmm.
Togue? Pogue?
Pogue?
What's pogue?
Why are you talking about pogue?
I don't know what pogue is. Oh, kiss.
No, it's not pogue.
Togue.
Togue.
Togue. Togue.
Togue. Oog A.
I remember what oog was. It was U-A-I-G-H.
I would worry less about that word, to be quite honest.
It's togue. Oh, take. Take it away!
Hey! Do you know what?
And you didn't help me at all.
It's the light bulb moments. That's why I teach. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
That's why I do Kill and Grow. It's for these little moments.
Yeah.
Poke.
Sorry, I was just trying to think. I was thinking of Pogue and then I was like, Pogue my own. And we were just
For any non-Irish listeners, Pogue Mahone means vote for Ireland. There you go. See you there.
Yes. Anyway. Take it away is Martin. No, it's not. It is
The blast Jan Ola on here. Our John Ola. John. Our Jan Ola. John.
John.
John Ola from Kilkenny.
From Connemara.
We need to stop saying Connemara. Jan yes, Ola, my apologies.
It's his phrase, Jan his famous Ola. Phrase.
Togu gay. Yeah.
Mr. Away. Martin knows it all has kind of twisted and made something of his own with his little phrase now.
You're good to go.
Oh, you're good to
what
go.
What would yours be? When Connor's
Feck it, let's do it.
What would it be?
Feck it, let's go.
Feck it, let's
Feck
go.
It, let's go. Oh, no, I feel, yeah, something I'd be like. Let's no, that's Weeby Blog, so let's do this would be copyrighted. I don't know. What would you do? I think you'd have to put like an Irish.
Oh, I know
thing.
What I
you'd
do.
You do it in Irish.
Maybe. Or I was thinking, ah sure it'll be grand.
That's what we're saying every year.
Maybe we'll qualify.
Maybe this year, lads.
Carrick Lori, well, Shanae, all there is to say is slong ago.
So on Tuesday the 31st of January we had the 2023 semi-final allocation draw for Eurovision 2023. We found out which semi-final each country will be participating in and also which country will be voting in each semi from the big five and of course Ukraine as well. And we have the final draw here with us. So let's go through it very, very quickly before we get talking about it. In semi-final one, which will be on the 9th of May 2023, we've got Serbia, Sweden, Latvia, Ireland, Moldova, Switzerland, Norway, Israel, Portugal, Netherlands, Croatia, Finland, Azerbaijan, Malta, and Czech Republic. And voting in the semi-final with them will be Germany, France, and Italy. In semi-final two then, on the 11th of May, we've got Albania, Australia, Armenia, Cyprus, Romania, Austria, Denmark, Lithuania, San Marino, Belgium, Slovenia, Iceland, Georgia, Greece, Poland and Estonia. In this semi-final voting with them too will be Ukraine, Spain and the United Kingdom.
I think I'd like to say as well, Connor, just before we get into the nitty-gritty of the semi-final stuff, obviously we will come to that. This was also the handover ceremony as well as the semi-final allocation draw. And just really, I suppose, I just want to say that I was so impressed. I thought the BBC are just coming out swinging.
Mm-hmm.
So well done to the BBC. Well done to the Ukrainian broadcaster and fair play to the EBU and just Liverpool.
Yeah.
There was so much heart and soul in, you know, the little videos that we saw. I just loved how present the people of Liverpool and people of Ukraine were, particularly Ukrainians in Liverpool. Just really nice nods to, you know, Liverpool as a city and Ukraine as a country, and having the young students on the stage to help a part of the voting allocation, and one Ukrainian girl having her moment to speak. I thought that was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Rylan and AJ were fantastic. Rylan just knowing his stuff, like it just felt like watching a fellow Euro fan, like different countries coming up. Oh yeah, so and so, oh they did well, they qualified last year. He made a little reback comment when Norway came out of the pot. It just and I know obviously look he's got all the cue and stuff, obviously I'm not silly, but at the same time, like, you know, he's a Euro fan, you know, he loves it and he knows his stuff. So I really enjoyed this whole production as a whole. It was fantastic. And even that venue was so impressive.
Yeah.
So Liverpool are not playing.
No.
They want to host a great show
for
Ukraine. And like, I applaud them.
No, I echo everything you said. The production value of this show was brilliant. Because this is something that often could get overlooked within the Eurovision calendar. But tonight was really something that felt as if it was the commencement of Eurovision 2023 properly, with the whole handover draw.
They still had their main stations.
Main
like.
Stations. There was buzz online all day. And of course, well, we got the slogan and artwork for 2023 as well. United by Music. What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about it?
I love it. I love it. It's so funny. With stuff like this, you can really see Eurovision fans love to give out.
Yeah.
And everybody becomes a graphic design expert, and everybody becomes a marketing expert.
I wouldn't do it that way, and I wouldn't pick those colours.
Listen, it was never going to please everyone. I love it. Like, I love the whole... Scott Mills, actually, you and I were watching the one show, and he sort of summed it up, the whole idea of Ukrainian culture and music and British creativity being united by music, that ties it in together so nicely. Really simple nod to Liverpool, the Penny Lane font.
Yeah.
You know, a lovely nod to the Beatles. And I was really hoping there would be even a subtle nuance, a subtle little nod to the Beatles. So that really pleased me as someone who's grown up loving the Beatles. And I think I really like the artwork too. I know that's had mixed reactions, but, you know, obviously it's very obvious with the colours. Like, you've got the Ukrainian colours of the flag, the navy as a nod to the UK flag, and the pink for the bucket hat from Cali Shortstraw, which I love.
Yeah.
I love that. But I know it's kind of maybe, I don't know what word you'd use, simple in style with the whole heart element and it kind of gliding out.
Mm-hmm.
But
pulsing
I love
it in a way.
I love it because if you look at the Eurovision logo, like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And to me, like, the slogan was always going to be hard to nail in a contest. Like, it's such a complex thing that you could spend a whole podcast talking about the whole meaning of Eurovision, its relevance in day-to-day politics, in day-to-day ongoing history, what's going on in the world, what's going on in Europe, what's going on in Ukraine, of course. But, you know, they struck a lovely balance with that slogan, united by music. It is a nod to what's going on, but it's not overly political while not being completely apolitical. And then the artwork tying in the colours of the flags and the meaning of the contest being in Liverpool for Ukraine. But for me, the element of the heart, it's like bringing it back to Eurovision.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to why we're here. You know, the Ukrainians went, they sang a song, they won the contest, they couldn't host it, it's in the UK, and blah, blah, blah. You have some of this politics chat and shite, to be honest, in my opinion, online. And I think it's really, really relevant to, like, bring it back to that Eurovision heart. So I'm really pleased on the whole. Now, to be fair, I'd probably be easily pleased. I think you're more a graphics man than I. How do you feel, Connor?
Yeah, no, I really, really like it. And my first initial thought was it's very 2023 in terms of, like, you know, loads of companies and stuff have gone back to this minimalistic feeling.
Yeah.
You know, nothing too fancy, nothing too different. And I feel like Italy last year was very kind of verging on a bit too complex with the design and the colours and everything like that, where this is very simple. Mm. You know, the font is very simple but impactful.
That's very British.
Very British.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this year was going to be the hard year to incorporate two countries, basically, because the UK is hosting but Ukraine won. So I think they've hit the nail on the head. And like you were saying, the slogan United by Music is straight back to what Eurovision was all about, bringing countries together after a war and uniting them through music.
During a war
now with Ukraine, we're trying to do the same thing. And I think it's a lovely, not to the past, but also very relevant for the future and the present at the moment. And yeah. And again, I'm excited to see how this will all play out in terms of, you know, the overall design, the scoreboard design, the little auto cue moments on the screen, little things like that. I'm a TV nerd, so that will fascinate me. And I can't wait to see the mock-ups.
I love watching Connor watch TV. Honestly, like, I get a kick out of it. Like, he'll get so excited. He'll be like, oh, look at the way they're doing this, look at the way they're doing that. Like, you have it's incredible. We'll be sitting at your telly here in your gaff and you'll be like, oh shit, this is on, and like suddenly it's just on and you're like, I'm like a granny, like, trying to, I'm like, I can't get the RT player working, I just want to watch the Tommy Tiernan show. And you're there and you're checking it all on all the channels. But anyway, that I'm glad that you're pleased as well.
Yeah, and I think it'd be an exciting few weeks now to see. I can't wait for the mock-ups that people do. And Dan
V designed, yeah, have to shout him out, don't
he did
we?
Some great united by individual countries, like united by France,
saw
an Ireland one as well, it looked really, really nice. So can't wait to see that bit of it come together. But, you know, I saw Liverpool City then today, they had all the artwork up, they had Liverpool with like the design out in the city as well, so that kind of buzz can bring a lot for a city as well. You know, Torino had the posters but there was no kind of major Eurovision vibes across the city bar at the venue. And you need that. You need to bring the city along your journey with you. So, I think it's great.
It's like you want to be walking around the host city and feel that you're welcome. It's like, you know, you want to be walking around with your flags and your merchandise and for the locals to be like, ah, they're the fans, like, you know, give you a smile. And, you know, there were lots of lovely Italians in Turin, but, you know, we did find times where it was kind of like, why are you here? Like, well, like, you know, we were getting looks with the flags.
Yeah.
Like, listen, like, you know, that's not a knock to the Italians at all. Like, you know, it's just, it's different culturally for them with Eurovision. But I feel like Liverpool's type city with amazing people who will really back it. Like, they're so proud. They, you know, there's always this kind of thing of, don't they say, like, the Republic of Liverpool, or like, it's its own entity in a way, which I think is deadly. And we mentioned this in our host city episode, there's something very Irish about Liverpool.
Yeah, no, so, you're dead right. We head into the draw then, so we're not going to go too much into
You've You've mentioned already semi-final one and two, who is where. Of course, we want to focus on where Ireland is. Semi-final one, first half.
First half. Now, for me, initially, I was like, oh, because I'm looking at the countries who traditionally would be friendly towards us. United Kingdom, for example, they're in semi-final two. Okay, they're gone. Australia, for me, I feel that would always throw us 2 or 3 points here and there. But, you know, you are very good because you're level-headed and you bring saying back, you know, it comes down to the song.
It does.
You can analyse everything, you can throw everything at it, but at the end of the day, the best songs will qualify. And if you're not up to scratch, you're not going to qualify. But I think for us, you know, people looking at it with that kind of head on of, oh, we need the friendly, and you need the friend, blah, 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 we get so worked up over. You were great in bringing me back down today.
Because I was like, oh, not no. You specifically, Connor, but especially online. And, like, we know, like, some social media apps in general, like, are just cesspits of, you know, whatever. But in, like, I love Eurovision fans, but also there are a lot of people out there, and probably myself included at times, we're the worst for catastrophizing things. Like, it is not that deep. It's January. It's February tomorrow. You know, the contest isn't for 3 months. We only have 3 songs of the 40. So there's very little to go on. Obviously, there's certain things. Like, yeah, Sweden are going to qualify. Like, you know, Ukraine are already in the final. It's looking good for Finland. You know, there's certain things you can say, and it is fun to strategize, but at the same time, I don't think we should get too ahead of ourselves. And also, there's a lot of people making interesting points. The OJE WhatsApp, the OJE Ireland WhatsApp group, actually, if anybody is thinking of joining OJE Ireland or has joined but hasn't joined the WhatsApp group, there's always quite interesting discussions in there. So we would recommend that you join. I was just kind of checking in earlier, and there was a lot of interesting talking points in there. And I noticed one person bringing up the point that, you know, sometimes Irish fans, as soon as the UK or whatever aren't in our semis, oh no, but like, Ryan O'Shaughnessy, UK and Australia weren't voting in our semi-final last, or in 2018, sorry. And we well qualified. Like, we came sixth in the semi-final. We did very well. Because it was the right song with great staging, as we, you know, we don't need to go back over that.
Yeah.
Brooke last year, like, yeah, okay, Spain loved her. That was down to the song and Brooke being present at the Spanish parties, pre-parties. UK and Australia loved her. Great. But, like, that's Brooke and that's Rich. Like, you can't say that the same would necessarily happen for whoever represents us this year. Like, it's a different song surrounded by different songs. So I think we have to remember that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that, like, and with the level-headedness, and also say, it's not looking great.
No.
It's not ideal. More so, I worry less about the whole, like, who's voting for us, and I worry more about what's around us, if you know what I mean. And, okay, there, on one hand, like, there's only 15 countries in our semi.
Yeah, that so is a positive. One
we only have to beat five others.
Countries. Well, yeah.
But
versus six in the other.
I think Malta, their national selection isn't looking great. Like, Aiden seems to be out at the moment. That's not great for them.
No.
Latvia's not looking great.
No.
So, but then isn't it, like, I suppose it's such a shame. We're like, oh, we might scrape through. Like, we really shouldn't be. But anyway.
Yeah.
Talking point for another day.
Take it back to the songs then, in terms of Ireland's choice.
Mm.
So, let's go with our top three, for example.
Wild Youth, Conley and Aggie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
from our Eurovision poll.
From our Eurovision poll. So in terms of, let's say, Adji getting selected, where would you see him fitting into a semi-final in the first half?
Definitely, I'd love him first in the running order.
Mm-hmm.
Wake everyone up.
Okay.
Boom. Conley, I'm concerned about. It depends. Like, obviously, if she wins Eurosong, I'm hoping that the Eurosong performance is really good. I'm hoping they don't chuck her in second or third, which could happen. EBU like putting us second.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We were second in 2015.
19.
And 19. So, you know, piss off EBU putting us second.
Because
it's such a typical thing, you know, like, you know, we're just very hard done by, I feel like, in the semis a lot of the time in terms of running order and stuff like that. So I'm just worried about
that. We also don't sound good enough songs.
No, true as well. True. Wild Youth, then, you made a great point during the allegation draw when this came up.
Marketing. If Wild Youth win Eurosong and are going to Liverpool with their song We Are One, put them first in the running order. We Are One, vote number one. First half of semi-final number one. There's lots of one going on.
Yeah.
Here.
And it is a great
song.
I think
We Are One would be a lovely opener.
Yeah, because it is quite a
bringing everyone
warming
together.
Song. Everyone
yeah.
coming together. And
all the flags.
Yeah. No, I
and
think so.
And that could be pretty memorable, in fairness, if it went first,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So I think, actually, I wouldn't mind us opening semi-final one. I mean, in fairness, if comedy's lovely and atmospheric, that could be a lovely opener.
Yeah.
Too. I don't really want to see a second, third or fourth. It's more where I don't want to see us. Yeah. Are you feeling the same?
Yeah, I think the only one out of them I'd worry with it would be Connolly in terms of that. That doesn't need a second spot in the running order because we've seen in previous years, second spot is so hard to qualify from. And last year, the only hope is that, you know, in 2022, they seem to put more up-tempo songs in that second spot. Now, it didn't really work out for them necessarily because Latvia didn't qualify. But I think if Connolly were to be our representative, I hope to God it is that later middle fifth, sixth pact. Because if we're early on, that's just another kind of blow to us.
Yeah.
Getting through to the final. But I think Aggie or Wild Youth would be great openers.
Yes.
For the final.
Or
for the semi-final. Hopefully for the final. But yeah, I think that would definitely bring the oomph and the Adji bring the kind of wow, like what a bop, what a great opener, and the Wildju would be that warming kind of welcome to the show elements of things.
I think Adji would be deadly in terms of people going, this is Ireland, like you know, because I don't know, I have a good feeling about Adji on Friday, just seeing some of his social media stuff. We know it looks like Emer Walsh is the choreographer.
She's
Brooks
back.
Turin choreographer.
Brooks dancers as well.
Two
Amy
of Brooks
and Sophie
dancers.
Are back. And the other two dancers are within
Adji's
the same company.
Good.
Marketing wise,
he's good.
He's the one to watch.
He's good. He really is good. Yeah.
Imagine dancing to that on the Saturday. Like,
oh,
imagine
Connor,
too good for your love.
We are going to mortify ourselves at Eurovision parties if Adji wins. Like, just if you see Connor and I on the Eurovision dance floor, no, you don't.
You really don't. You probably will be the loudest people in there going, We Are One, or like, Too Good For Your Love. Now I sound like John Lydon trying to sing Why. But yeah, to finish things up anyway, because we talked a bit, and in your mind, which one is the silver semi-final? One or two? Because I feel like they actually are quite evenly spread.
That's why I had to sort of stop and think. But it's also too early to say, Connor.
Yeah, because we haven't got the songs.
Yeah, and we have a couple of artists, but like no idea of their songs.
Yeah.
And it's like with the internal selections, it can be hard. Like I do remember, I think it was last year, we had a few internal selections and we were told the artists early on. And then when you got the song, it was kind of like, oh, that's
fuck,
it. Yeah. Like, yeah. And some of them were great, like I loved Halo. That didn't work out though. But then there was some other internal selections and like the song dropped at the end of March and I was like, Jesus, that's it. Like we waited, like, could you not just drop this on us in January?
Yeah.
Like, so it's an interesting one. We will see.
Yeah.
But I just love when this kind of stuff rolls around and Eurovision pass. We all got our tinfoil hats on, all us Eurovision fans. We're like ready to rock. We got
the
clipboards.
When you hear
the
EBU saying like the Eurovision tune, it's like, like, here we go. Like,
I think whoever like runs the Eurovision accounts must be like, these people are insane. Like, they are insane. And
but even
like,
at Christmas time, they always have like the like European carol service. I was on like Christmas Eve at like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
They play like the Eurovision theme. And I'm always like, it's Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Stand and salute. The national anthem.
Please stand.
So there we have it.
That's the allocation draw.
We enjoyed it overall, Connor, didn't
yes,
we? It was
we
a nice
did.
Evening.
We did.
We
it
have to
nice
report
show.
After.
Brilliant show.
Yeah.
Brilliant show. We would dive into some comments from people before we finish up and see what they thought.
We did
anyway.
Ask Instagram. Lads, I'm loving the interaction on our Instagram. Can I just say, it's great. It really is. We asked how you're all feeling.
Not very good by the same things.
Mixed
opinions.
Responses. I think Joey actually, hi Joey, we met him at Eurobash. He kind of has a fair approach. He says, Ireland are in a tough semi, not ideal getting first half, but we move. Like, I think that's essentially sort of what we've been saying. Like, that rounds off nicely what we've been saying.
You know, we've got our draw. We don't give up now. It's like, okay, that's what we have. We deal with it.
Yeah.
Let's pick the song and try and qualify.
Yes.
That's it. I think that's the best mentality to have.
Dave Mackin has said something similar. For now, it looks like we are in the tougher semi-final, but we will see. So a lot of people seem to be agreeing with us, like, it's not great, but we'll see. Like, you never know. Too early. It's too early. Louise saying, graveyard second slot for Ireland with all the Scandi countries. Could the draw be any worse? I think it could be.
Oh, yeah. We could have literally...
I think being with the Scandis doesn't disadvantage us.
No.
Depends on the song.
If Aggie goes, you know, Sweden will love that kind of up-tempo bop.
Potentially.
I think so. Norway as well. You know, they share similar kind of genres and stuff. So
I think we struggle a lot more with the Eastern European countries when it comes to friendly voting. But, like, as we know, if the song's good enough, you'll pick up some votes. Yeah. So we can't save too much.
P. Mint said, I think we're going to struggle regardless of the draw. Definitely didn't do us any favours, though. So negative view already, you know, based on the songs. But sure, we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Eurovision fan said, Ireland being done dirty once again without UK voting and being in the bloodbath semi. So they're feeling that the semi-final one is the bloodbath of the two this year.
Sure.
M. Doherty said, if we pick Aggie, high chance Ireland would be first, which, not going to lie, is a pretty great start to the contest, which is...
Yeah.
I think it would be a great opener. Mm. And imagine as well, Ireland opening the first semi in Liverpool.
The roar. The roar. I can't wait to see the videos from Liverpool of Irish fans disgracing ourselves. Like, there is no one like the Irish. The Euros. Wasn't it in Poland or something a few years ago?
Oh, France.
Was it in France?
Yeah, France.
And, like, they loved us.
Yeah. We were literally going around. We were singing to babies on trains. Oh. We were in pubs. We hit a man's car and we started to fix it on the middle of the side of the road because we didn't want him to be, you know, disadvantaged by having a scratch. Like, how gas are we?
There was some video of, like, an elderly man in, like, an upper floor apartment coming in and out of the balcony. And every time he came in, the crowd were like, and then he'd go back inside and he'd be like, and then he'd go back. And, like, are we just a simple people?
I think so. We're
like,
just
we
happy.
Just get a kick out of
But then
everything.
We go back to our old Catholic traditions and we were singing to the nuns on the train as well. We were saying Ave Maria. Like, how, like, we're actually cracked.
And when you add in kind of, like, the camp, quirky element of Eurovision, like, sorry, Eurovision fans are way better than football fans.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, like, yeah, and Connor, you're both a Eurovision fan and a football fan. Yeah. So you know.
Oh, I know, completely.
Eurovision fans are the best.
I don't think you're expecting to get boxed in the face. Whereas after a football match, there's a high possibility if your team wins and the other team loses, you're getting home with a punch in the face. Whereas Eurovision, it's like, ah, you were shite. So what? I'm off to Romania.
Do you know what? I love, like, even we were walking around Turin, like, you'd have, like, I don't know, your Irish flag or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, a random, like, Portuguese person would be like, Brooke was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, like, this understanding of each other. And then you'd be like, Saudade is amazing. Yeah. It was just like, we see each other. Yeah, like, you
absolutely.
Know, just this kind of community feeling of this random way you've never met, but they see a flag and they make a connection to you. It's so special.
So good.
But
I think
as
well, just talking about the first, like, if we were to open the semi-final, I think it'd be great as well because, I don't know about you, I think you'd be similar enough, but it's always really stressful waiting for your country to come. And I feel that it nearly takes away from the other countries, you know. If we're like eighth, I feel like song 5, 6 and 7 doesn't get appreciated by myself because I'm like, okay, 2 away, 1 away, we're next.
The stress.
And the song after then as well.
I'm sure you're the same. The stress I felt waiting for Leslie Roy Maps.
Like...
We have to have a Leslie Roy episode at some point. Like, but, like, just that's like a blur.
Mm.
That is like a blur. Yeah. That semi final.
Yeah.
And not knowing knowing what was coming, but not being sure how it was going to work out.
Yeah. And then it was made worse by the fact that it was the postcard, and then we went back to the presenter, and we're like, what's happening? What's happening? Like, but like you said, that's completely,
yeah,
like,
so
that's
I agree
a podcast
with you anyway.
Episode in itself. But
going up first could be nice. Sure. But wait and see. Yeah. Wait and see. It's light years away at this point, although it will fly in, as we know. So that's the allocation draw anyway.
Done and dusted for 2023.
Yep. Let's move on.
Right, everyone, we have come to the end of the episode. But before we go, we know that Benidorm Fest is kicking off this evening when we're recording this. But we don't want to talk too much about it because we want to watch the show, see our thoughts, see who obviously wins. So we're going to be discussing that in a full-length episode later on this week. But initial thoughts, Louise, before we go.
I love so much España. I love it. Mickey Nunez, ¿cómo estás?
Mickey Nunez is not participating.
Is this the first time I've brought him up on Eurovision?
Don't think so.
Okay.
I think there's been one or two times.
Fair enough.
You didn't do his full title, though, this time.
Señor Mickey Nunez.
No, Mickey Nunez, La Venda, Eurovision 2019.
Oh, I have to.
We always do that.
So true, bestie.
But yeah, Benidorm Fest 2023.
I loved Benidorm Fest last year. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm kind of glad we're going to just kind of see everything live Tuesday evening, Thursday evening, semi-finals, and then obviously have our final on Saturday, because I just thought so many of the songs last year came alive, Chanel being the main one.
Yeah.
How is any act going to follow Chanel?
Slowly. It's a big ask. It is, like, you know, it's going to be hard. But
speaking of Chanel slow-mo, Brooke Dancing with the Stars this Saturday.
Sunday,
is dancing to slow-mo with her partner.
I know.
It's like she's a great Eurovision fan. She knows Benidorm Fest is on. She knows Eurosong is on this weekend.
But you know what? I won't be happy until I see her dancing to That's Rich. I'm sorry. I'm putting it out there.
Do you reckon she'll do it? Would it be a bit weird to dance to her own song now?
Okay. Other people have done it. She should be allowed to do it. She has the windmills ready to go. What did I?
She should be allowed to do it. Strawberries too for a euro. Where does that come out? Connor gets into these forms when he like feels really passionate about something, like the real true dub comes out, and I love it. I love it. Love it. Anyway.
That's God.
Shouldn't have been.
But yeah, Benidorm, I agree with you. I think that I feel that I need visuals before I properly judge a song, because last year I went in with favourites and then that completely flipped on its head once I saw them perform live and staging vibes that they're going for. But yeah, like you said, it's gonna be so hard to follow in the footsteps of Chanel, but I think there's a few songs that could possibly do it.
There's a few good ones.
Which we'll wait and see. But so like you said, Benidorm Fest is Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday this week, so make sure you tune in. It's very late though, but you know, tune in.
Yeah, if you're on like a Mediterranean time zone or whatever, it would suit you. Or if you're a night owl. And of course we have MGP being decided on Saturday.
Yes.
So yeah, it's really heating up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try and digest as much of it as possible with all of you, our Irish listeners and our international listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in and for all of your feedback. And we are looking forward to chatting to you in the next episode.
Yeah. Don't forget that you guys can get in contact with us and follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is at Eurovision Pod. Instagram is at Eurovision Podcast.
Can I
and
just
of course,
say especially this week
ooh.
That if you want to know a bit more about Eurosong in Ireland, Thursday and Friday would be a really good time to be watching our Instagram and Twitter, wouldn't it, Connor?
She spilled.
I'm just saying.
Are we going somewhere?
I know. I'm just saying. Just watch the socials.
I feel like we're going to a haunted house or something. We're gonna go cobwebs, everything.
We're going to the nightmare realm, Connor. Okay.
Anyway. Who knows what we're gonna find. Anyway, that is everything from us today. Don't forget that you can like and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and leave a review so other Eurovision fans can find us too. But from myself and Louise, thank you so much for listening. And all we got to say is
Slán go fóill.